When I think about the whole Christian story, from creation to incarnation to resurrection, and then to the ascension, which we celebrate today, when I think about the whole Christian story, I think it can be hard to get excited about the ascension. I mean, creation is easy. Look at beauty in nature, whether looking up at the mountains or looking out across the plains, dipping your toes in the ocean or dropping a fishing line off a boat on the lake, or just marvel at the sheer miracle of human existence. Creation is pretty easy to appreciate and enjoy. And the incarnation is also pretty easy. The Christmas season is full of wonder and delight as we anticipate the birth of the Christ child, God becoming human to live among us, to know us in person, face to face, eating with us, sharing life together with us in the person of Jesus. And the resurrection. Easter is easy. We celebrate the life that death could not hold. Up from the grave he arose. I'm not saying that it's easy to believe in all of these facets of our faith. That's a sermon for another day. I'm just saying that these things are easy to celebrate. Incarnation and resurrection are about life and presence, God with us. And we think that's good. It's worth celebrating. Most people don't think, you know, I'd really prefer a God who is distant and hard to know. So even if we find it hard to believe that God became human and lived among us, I think most people agree that a God who comes near and lives among us, knowing our struggles, sharing our life, that's nice. But then we come to the ascension, and at least at first, it feels kind of weird to celebrate. Are we supposed to be happy that Jesus left us? It doesn't make sense. If we were happy when he came to us, why would we then be happy when he leaves? Which is it? If it's a blessing to have Jesus live among us, shouldn't it be not a blessing to have him not living among us? I think to help us appreciate the ascension as a good thing and not just a sad or strange footnote at the end of the Christian story, there's one more post-resurrection story that I want to share with you today. Especially in the first few weeks of the Easter season, we heard a few post-resurrection stories. The first, of course, being the Easter story itself, when Jesus appeared to the women at the tomb. Then we heard about how Jesus appeared to the disciples when they're holed up together behind locked doors, sad and afraid. Thomas wasn't there, remember? And he says, "Unless I see for myself, I will not believe." So Jesus comes back the following week and shows Thomas his hands and his side. We also heard about the time, again, after Jesus' death and resurrection, when Peter and his disciples go fishing, and at first they catch nothing, and then Jesus shows up, and they get a great catch. Jesus waits for them on the beach where he's made them breakfast, and then he has that heart-to-heart talk with Peter, giving him a chance to redeem himself and move forward from a painful past. Well, there's another post-resurrection story that we didn't hear in this Easter season, and I'd like to share it with you today. So bonus, you get a third scripture reading. This is also from the Gospel of Luke, also from chapter 24. It's just before the story of the ascension that we already heard this morning. Now, on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" Jesus asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Then Jesus said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself and all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, Jesus walked ahead as if he were going on, but they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening, and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. Then they told what had happened on the road and how Jesus had been made known to them in the breaking of bread. I wanted to share this story with you today because we are celebrating the sacrament of communion, and we will hear some of that story in the communion liturgy. And I think it helps to show us how the ascension is a good thing. Because these two disciples have this powerful encounter with Jesus on the road to Emmaus. They didn't know it was him at first. He listened to them as they said one of the saddest lines recorded in Scripture. "We had hoped. We had hoped." They'd lost all hope. They were sad and grieving and confused. And Jesus shows up and accompanies them on the journey. He listens to them and he teaches them, but they still don't realize it's Jesus who is with them. Not until they sit down for dinner and Jesus takes the bread and gives thanks to God and breaks it and gives it to them. And then that's when they recognize him. But then he disappears and it's over. And then just a few verses later, Jesus ascends into heaven. And even though they see him float up toward the clouds, that doesn't mean he ascended into the heavens, as in the sky, as if he is physically above the clouds or way out in outer space somewhere. Heaven isn't a place above the clouds. Heaven is a dimension from which God reigns. Heaven is a dimension from which God reigns. I like the way biblical scholar N.T. Wright describes it. He says that heaven is like the control room or the CEO's office. It's the place from which decisions are made and instructions are given. So after his birth, ministry, death, and resurrection, Jesus returns to the right hand of God. He ascends to heaven, the place from which God rules. It is harder to celebrate than Christmas and Easter, but it is still something to celebrate, because the same Jesus who walked the earth, who shared meals with the disciples, who healed and taught and cried with them and suffered and died, the same Jesus reigns in heaven. In heaven, the control room, the CEO's office, the place from which cosmic decisions are made, sits Jesus, the person who knows us and loves us. So on days like Ascension Sunday, it is good to remember what kind of king we have reigning in heaven. And it is good to remember who ultimately and what ultimately reigns over us. Because I know on a lot of days it feels like power reigns, or fear, or enmity, or division, or self-sufficiency. Some days it feels like all the bad news we read about, that's what reigns, that's what rules over us, it seems. Or some days it feels like all the stuff that's in our own homes and our own hearts, shame and regret and broken relationships, grief and longing, addiction, anxiety, depression, sometimes it feels like that's what rules us. But on Ascension Sunday, we are called to remember what and who really reigns over us. It's Jesus, the same Jesus who lived and died, who served with humility and grace, who showed mercy and love and compassion, the one who walked with the disciples on the road to Emmaus and was revealed in the breaking of bread. This same Jesus now reigns over us, and even more, this same Jesus reigns for us. Because that's what Jesus shows us, that God isn't just over us, God is for us. So on days when we feel like the disciples on the road to Emmaus, when we are sad or anxious or afraid, when we've lost hope or when we are confused, or when we can't see the big picture, when we are so clouded by our own gloom that we can't recognize the Savior who walks right beside us, we might call to mind the Ascension and remember who and what really reigns over us and for us. The same Jesus who lived among us and loved people throughout his ministry, that's who reigns in heaven for us. And heaven, the dimension to which Jesus ascended, heaven, this realm from which God reigns, it isn't far away, but it is very close. Over and over in his ministry, Jesus said it, the kingdom of heaven has come near. Do we see it most days? No, many days, many of us do not. But that is why we pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The kingdom of heaven, the reign and realm of God is near. And so we pray that we can see it more and more, that our eyes would be open to God's kingdom breaking in and unfolding in this world. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is our prayer, that we would see God's reign and that we would participate in it. We pray it every Sunday. I encourage you to pray it every day in the Lord's Prayer, but especially on Ascension Sunday, we claim this Christ who reigns over us and for us. We say it and pray it and sing it out because it is easy to forget and it is easy to miss, and it is harder to celebrate this part of the Christian story. It just doesn't pair well with Hallmark and secular conventions. But the Ascension is good news because it reminds us who reigns over us and for us. So let us walk in hope with our eyes open, attentive to Christ who accompanies us and who reigns for us. Thanks be to God. Amen.